make it through the dead places in your life, there are two things that you need to understand. Before I get into this, how many of you right now are walking through some dead places? You're going through some places where you really don't understand what's going on. You're being attacked on the left and on the right. And God has a word for you this morning. That's why you're here. So the first thing you need to understand is that dead places are a part of life. You cannot escape them or avoid them. The beginning of verse 4 explains this to us. It says, yea. In other words, the psalmist, David, says, yes, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And so he acknowledges that dead places are a part of life. The Bible also teaches us this in Psalms 34 and 19 that says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. And so we must be prepared to encounter the dead places in life, church. We have to be prepared for it and then be ready to go through them. The second thing I want you to understand is that getting through dead places does not last forever. I want you to understand that. When you go through a dead place, it's only for a season. What you experience in that dead place will not last forever. It may seem like it is, but it's really not. It's for a season. It's for a purpose. God will bring you out of it. You're on a schedule, and you'll come out on time if you trust him. Amen. Somebody give God a hand clap of praise. Amen. And so the scriptures identify six different types of dead places that a believer can go through. And there is a purpose behind each place. And I believe, this is just my personal application here. Sometimes I'll give my personal insight and move away from scripture. But I believe that these places that you'll go through in life are in succession. And they build one upon the other. For when I start ministering to them, you'll see that you can't go this through this place till you go through the next place, and so on and so forth. And so my assignment this morning, I have an assignment from God, church, is that you understand, is to get you to understand what you're going through and understand the purpose behind it. So if I do my job and I minister correctly under the power of the Holy Spirit, you will understand what you're going through and what's the purpose behind you going through it. So I want you to write this down in your notes. These are six different types of dead places that you'll walk through as a believer. Number one is to be tempted, or temptations. Number two is persecutions. Number three is trials. Number four is sufferings. Number five is afflictions. And number six is tribulations. I'm going to repeat them again so you can get them. Number one is to be tempted. The Bible talks about to be tempted or temptations. Number two is persecutions. Number three is trials. Number four, sufferings. Five, afflictions. And six, tribulations. So let's begin with number one, to be tempted or temptations. Let's go to James chapter 1 this morning. I'm going to be giving you a lot of scriptures. You may not get them all, so write them down if I turn to them and begin to read before you get there. James chapter 1, verse 13 through 15. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust has conceived, it bring forth sin, and sin with it, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so we understand now from this scripture that when a person is tempted, it does not come from God. Temptation comes solely from the devil. I want you to understand that there is one devil and several demons. Y'all follow me. There's one devil named Satan. That's his name. He's the prince of darkness, and he has an arsenal of demons that are at his disposal that are in the earth that carry out his assignment that he gives them. You cannot see them with your natural eye, but they are there. And so when you are tempted, you are normally being tempted by one of those demonic forces that Satan has sent out from devils. It does not come from God. It is a fact that all of us will be tempted, church. Everybody in this room will be tempted, but only some of us will be drawn away from what we're tempted to. So if you've been in here and you've been tempted, you're supposed to be tempted. It comes from the devil, but everybody is not drawn away in that particular type of temptation. There are many people that fall away from God. It does not happen all of a sudden, because what happens is what the scripture teaches here. You become enticed by the lust or the things of the world that does not please God, and you yield to it while you're falling further and further away from God. And so when you're tempted, you're being tempted by the devil. The purpose of that temptation is to pull you out of God's plan for your life. And what happens is when you begin to be enticed by that temptation, you don't realize it, but when you start yielding to that thing, you just start falling further and further and further away from God. And before you know it, you're out of the church. Starts with a little cigarette smoking. Nothing wrong with a little cigarette smoking. The demons will tell you that. You know, all your friends are doing is just a party. But before you know it, that thing, I'm just using that as an example, that thing will eventually entice you and you will be pulled away from God. It's a temptation. So, Pastor, how do I deal with temptations? Let's go to Matthew chapter 4, verse number 1 through verse number 11. How do I deal with temptations when I'm confronting with them, Pastor? The Bible says that then Jesus was led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Matthew 4, verse 1. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward hungry. Look at this. And when the tempter came to him, that's the devil, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him upon a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, "If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against the stone." And Jesus said unto him again, "It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." And the devil taketh him up into an exceedingly high mountain, and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for what? It is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the Bible says, then the devil left him. So, Pastor, how do I handle temptations? You handle it with the word. It's the church, it's the only effective defense against temptation. If the devil was bold enough to tempt Jesus, he's bold enough to come after you. Are y'all listening to me in here this morning? The only way that you can combat his temptation is by speaking what the word says. That's why, as your pastor, I'm so adamant about you learning the word. Coming to church faithfully and consistently, because the Bible teaches us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How else are you going to hear the word and know what to say when the devil tempts you if you're not in a place where the word of God is being taught and preached to you on a regular basis? Amen. You have too many, I hope y'all hear my heart this morning, that are running away from church in the time of trouble. I talk to people all the time, and the devil is tempting them, and they say, "Well, you know, I'm just going to stay away. I'm just going to." That's not the time to run from church. Amen. That's the time to run to church. Because in the church is where you'll hear the word of God. God's given you a pastor that will speak to his heart and will share with you what to do in the time of trouble. But if you're not here to receive it, then you don't know what to do when the tempter comes to you. And if you don't know what to do, the Bible says you'll be enticed by his temptation and fall away. Tell your neighbor, you got to put the word on him, baby. You got to put the word on him. That's the only thing that work on the devil is the word. Let's look at 1 Corinthians 10:13. I told y'all I have a lot of scriptures this morning, but y'all don't mind, do y'all? Praise the Lord. That's why I asked you to bring your Bibles, because what I teach you is in the Word. I'm not in the Sears catalog. I'm not in Jet magazine. I'm not in Ebony. I'm in the Word. Tell your neighbor, he's in the Word. 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able. But with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. I want y'all to understand this morning, that when you are being tempted, it's the lowest level of dead places. It's the lowest level because, according to the text, you're not being tempted by anything but such that is common to man. Therefore, when you yield to that temptation, it shows that you're allowing the devil or the enemy to take advantage of you when he doesn't have to. The Bible teaches us clearly that God won't allow us to be tempted above that we can handle. And then on top of that, he said, every time you get tempted, I'll give you a way of escape. So if you are being in a state where you're being tempted and you find yourself being enticed and drawn away by the tricks of the devil, hello, then obviously something is wrong. Because God say he will make it to where you can bear it, and in it he'll give you a way of escape. Pastor, give me an example. I will. Thank you for asking. You're a married man and you work in an office. And the secretary comes in and she puts on her favorite perfume because she wants to entice you. Make it real. Can I do that? And what that is temptation. Because she looks good and she has everything that you want. Am I doing all right? Some of y'all looking to be kind of strange. She has everything that she wants, 26, 36, whatever. And she puts her sweet perfume on. And she knows she's sent from Satan, because she knows that if I can get you to yield to what I'm doing, you'll fall away. And she gives you the look. Y'all brothers know the look. The look is, you know, when the sister is not just sisters, but when she looks, she give you that, you know, you want it look. Y'all know that look, right, men? Can I be plain? I'm not telling you anything that I haven't experienced in my own life, and I experience every day. I'm tempted all the time, but as a pastor, I understand the word, and I don't allow myself to yield to that. Doesn't mean the temptation don't come, church. It means that I don't yield to what the devil throws out at me. So you look at her funny. She looked at you funny. Well, why don't we have lunch? Well, I don't know about all that. I guess that'll be okay. Temptation. Yielding. Next time it's a phone call. Next time, why don't we go out for a couple of drinks? And in your mind, you're saying, well, I'm just helping her. She's having some problems in her relationship. Y'all know how we do. And before you know it, you done slept with this woman. And the whole time you're falling away from God because you're yielding to what the devil is throwing out at you. It's the lowest form of temptation. Why? Because the devil knows that he can tempt you, he can pull you out of the plan of God for your life. If I can get you at the lowest stage, I don't have to worry about persecution and affliction and trials and tests. Because I got you at the temptation stage. Am I doing all right? Amen. Number two, persecutions. If the devil is not successful in overtaking you in temptations, then he will step up his game and start persecuting you. He's just like Reebok. He steps up his game. The purpose behind persecution comes solely because you've made a decision to stand for righteousness. And you refuse to yield to the temptation that the devil enticed you with. And so you say, I'm not going to yield to you, woman. I'm not going to yield to you, man. And so then they start persecuting you. You always got to act so holy. You think it don't take all that. Who told you it took all? Who told you you need to come to church all the time? Am I doing all right? Who told you that it was wrong to drink? The Bible say use a little wine for the stomach's sake. Ain't that what the Bible say, First Lady? Jesus turned water to wine, so he must be in approval, isn't it? Hello? Jesus got his drink on. So what's wrong with getting your drink on? That's persecution. Because you're being persecuted because you said, I'm not going to yield to this. And so someone says, I'm going to persecute you on behalf of righteous sake. Now the Bible teaches us in Matthew 5 and 12 that we are to rejoice and be exceedingly glad in persecutions, for great is our reward in heaven. You can be persecuted in your homes. Talk about some different type of persecution. Some of you, your husband is not as strong as you are in the faith. And so you can be persecuted. Why are you tithing? Don't you know we need this money for our rent? Hello. But he didn't say that when y'all went to the mall. Somebody say, preach, pastor. Why you got to go to church every Sunday and Wednesday? What's up with that? It's persecution, and it comes in your home, and it comes because you took a stand for righteousness and you refused to yield to the temptations of the devil. Persecution can come on your job. They ask you to be dishonest. I need you to write this differently other than what you saw, because if you write it the way you saw, the company is going to get in a lot of trouble. I've been there. But I took a stand for righteousness. It was called persecution. You can be persecuted in your family. How many of y'all remember when you got saved and you went and saw people that you hadn't seen in a while? And they say, oh, now you saved now. You saved now. Yeah, I remember 2 weeks ago when we was at the club and you was getting jiggy with it or whatever. But you saved now. That's persecution. The question is were they right or were they wrong? Hello? Because if you were in fact living the same way you're living prior to you getting saved, then they were right. Maybe you didn't get saved. Maybe you didn't live right. But if you're living right and you're holding it, you're enduring persecution.
Yes. Amen.
Number three, persecution. It's a dead place, but it's part of life, and you've got to walk through it. Is there anybody in here that's being persecuted? Yes, you ought to begin to rejoice right now, because that's what the Bible says. Rejoice. And be exceedingly glad. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse number 6 and 7. Number 3 is trials. The next phase of dead places is when your faith is tried or you go through a trial. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. The Bible says, wherein greatly rejoice, there it is again, though now for a what? Season, not 5 years, not a month, not a season, not forever, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. I want you to write this down in your notes. The purpose of trials is to strengthen your faith. That's what you go through a trial for. The devil can test your faith, and so can God. Normally, when your faith is being tested, God is behind it. It's not always the devil, although when the devil comes to God, just like he did with Job, he has to get permission from God to test your faith. In Job chapter 1, I believe it is, they said, who is this man that you call Job, righteousness in all his ways? And they said, if you take your head from around him, he will curse you. And God said, no, he won't. So God took the hedge off of Job and allowed the devil to test him because his faith was being tried. So the devil can test you and God can test you. He will allow the devil to attack your life so that he can be glorified. Because when you go through trials, your faith is increased. That's what it says. That the trial of your faith gets increased. Why? Because when you go through the next battle, you can say, if God brought me through that, then certainly he can bring me through this. And that's the purpose of trials. Am I doing all right? Number four is sufferings. The next area of dead places is sufferings. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 14 through 16. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Let none of you suffer, there it is again, as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer, but as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Now, if you're taking notes, write this down. There's two ways that a believer can suffer. Number one is on God's behalf. And number two is on your behalf or as a result of your own action. I want you to write this down if you're taking notes. What is the purpose of suffering? Identification is the purpose of suffering. That's the whole purpose. When you are suffering, the whole purpose of that is identification. Let me break it down. Say, break it down, Pastor. When you are suffering on God's behalf, you will begin to identify with what Jesus went through while he was here on earth. While Jesus was here, he suffered. And so when you begin to suffer on God's behalf, you begin to identify with what Jesus went through. While Jesus was here, he was reproached. He was disgraced. He was abused. He was made to be ashamed. And when you're on in a dark place, you are suffering. How many of you here have been reproached, been felt ashamed, have been disrespected, have been disgraced? That's forms of suffering. And what the Lord is doing is helping you to identify with what Jesus went through. Because Jesus went through these same things while he was here on earth, and you are feeling these same things as you go through these sufferings. The Bible teaches us again that we are to rejoice when this happens and be happy because the Spirit of God rests upon us. That's when we're suffering on God's behalf. Now, unfortunately, in the church and in the body of Christ at large, we see a lot of people that are not suffering on God's behalf. It is a fact that they are suffering, and they're suffering as they are said in verse 15, as a murderer, not a killer with a gun, but with your tongue. As a thief, as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. And so when you begin to make those type of actions, choices, and decisions, you can begin to suffer on behalf of your own and think that you're suffering on God's behalf, but you're really not. Number five is afflictions. Am I doing all right? Afflictions are dead places that believers walk through that can be experienced by saved and unsaved. These type of experiences are known as calamities, misfortunes, great sufferings. That's when you're going through afflictions. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. Verse number 4. But in all things, approving ourselves as the ministers of God, look at this, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, imprisonments, in turmoils, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned. So, Pastor, what is the purpose of afflictions? Here it is. The purpose of afflictions, church, is for you to prove who you really are. I have an old saying that says the real you will show up after a while. And so the purpose of afflictions is to find out who you really are. Can you praise God in the bad times just like you can in the good? Anybody can praise God with a pocket full of money. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But what about when you don't have anything in your pocket? Anybody can praise God with a job. But what about when you don't have a job? Anybody can praise God when their marriage is going good and their relationships are going good and they got money in the bank and a car to drive. But what about when the car goes out on you and the relationship goes sour? Can you praise God then? See, afflictions prove who you really are. Tell your neighbor, God wants to see who you are. If you were in the hurricane and you were afflicted and lost contact with your family while awaiting rescue, probably sitting in the Superdome or wading through waist-high water, would your praise be the same? Or would you curse God? Or would you just say, I don't know why these things are happening? See, baby, afflictions come to prove who you are. Is there anybody in here that's been afflicted, but in the midst of your affliction, you're being proved by the hand of God? You're being proved that, yes, my praise is real. Yes, my worship is real. Yes, my relationship with God is real. Because I'm the same person I am in the fire that I am when the times are good. Job was in great affliction, one after the another, calamity, sickness, pain, and death. But Job didn't curse God. But though in his affliction, he walked through it. And church, you've got to walk through it because you will encounter it in this life. I talk to people now that are in great affliction, but they've lost their testimony. What happened to the Jesus that you served when the times were good? He's the same in bad times. He's the God of the living and he's the God of the dead. He's the God of famine, and he's also the God of increase and extra. And he's also that same God. The final one, as I come to a close this morning, is tribulations. Based upon my understanding of the scriptures, I believe that afflictions and tribulations are the highest level of dead places that a believer can walk through. If I'm preaching to you this morning, if I'm ministering to your spirit, and you are sensing characteristics of tribulations and characteristics of affliction, you are at the highest level of testing in the dead place. You are experiencing things that folks that come to church and put their name on the roll will never experience, because they are not committed in their heart, their mind, and spirit to go all the way with God. Romans 5:3 says that we are to be patient in tribulation. And 2 Corinthians 1:4, I want you to turn to that real quickly. We're already there. 2 Corinthians 1:4 says, who comforteth us, look at this, in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort by with wherewith our, we ourselves are comforted of God. So, Pastor, what is the purpose of tribulation? It's two things. Number one is to work patience in you. And it's to work patience in you so that you can identify with others. God, y'all listening in here to me today, and some of you by audio tape, God has taken you through so many different things. And looking back on it, you didn't understand its sole purpose until you ran into somebody that was going through the same thing that you were going through. And you had a grace and you had an understanding and you could identify with somebody else, because I was where you were, baby. My household was turned upside down. I didn't know how I was going to pay the rent. I didn't know how I was going to get to work. But somehow, through the hand of God, He brought me out. Oh, God, He brought me out. So you can walk up to a sister that's limping and crying and spending time in the dark place and say, baby, you can make it. I know it looks bad now. I know things ain't looking like they're going to turn around. But I'm here to tell you, God brought me out and He's no respecter of person. That's the purpose of going through tribulation. You ought to be excited. No, you don't like it when you're going through it. No, you wish you could press your way out of it. But you're going through it to build patience because God's getting ready to send somebody your way that is experiencing the exact same thing. As I close, I want you to turn back to Psalms 23 and 4. I pray that this has blessed somebody in here today. Psalms 23 and 4. Types of dead places. I understand their purpose, but how do I get through it? Because the reality of this church is that when you're walking through a dead place, you don't know how long it's going to be before you come out of it. It may be a year. It may be 10 years. It may be 27 years. It may be 5 months. But the reality is you know you're walking through it, but you don't know how long it'll be before you get out of it. How do I get through it? David gives us the answer. Yea, though I what? Walk through. You got to keep walking. Tell your neighbor, say, keep walking, baby. Don't stop. Don't turn around. You may feel like quitting. You may feel like throwing in the towel. You may feel like giving up. The shadow of death may be upon you, but you got to keep walking through that thing. Because if you stop in the middle of it, you will not. That's like going through the tunnel. Going through the tunnel is a season. You don't stop in the middle of the Monitor Merrimack tunnel. You keep going. Because there's light on the other side of it. You don't see it when you drive down in that tunnel. You can't see the light on the other side of that thing. But you just keep driving. Yeah. Cars on E. You just keep on driving. Hallelujah. Got 94.1 on. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Jesus. You just keep on driving. Hallelujah. And before you know it, you see the light at the end of that tunnel. You don't stop in the middle of the tunnel. Because if you stop, everything behind you gets clogged up. And it causes friction in the spirit realm. That's why you got to keep going, church. You got to keep walking through it. It may seem hard. It may seem like it's not going to end. But keep walking through that thing. Keep walking through it. Don't give up, church. God is with you. Y'all hear me? I say God is with you. You've got the rod in your hand that represents the word of God. And I've taught you how to speak the word. You may not understand it, but in the midnight hour, you got to learn how to crawl up out of that bed and say, Father, I don't understand what I'm going through. This joker won't act right, but your word says that the sanctified wife will sanctify the husband. Maybe it's on the flip side of that thing, and she ain't acting right. And you say, Lord, the sanctified husband will sanctify the wife. You've given me power over the forces of darkness. You got to learn how to get in this thing, church. And you got to learn how to walk this thing out. Because if you stop in the middle of the tunnel, you won't make it through. And everybody behind you will get jammed up. And it'll cause a traffic jam in the spirit. So you got the word, the rod in your hand. Then the Bible says, the last thing you got, He said, thy staff, they comfort me. Pastor, what's a staff? A staff is a support system. Yes. The shepherds had a staff when they were herding the sheep. They used to get that staff, and the staff would, they kind of hit the sheep there to keep them inside the pasture. Well, in the natural realm, you have a staff here. And this staff brings comfort to you. Look to the left of you. Look to the right of you. That's your staff. Real people that have gone through what you've gone through and come out all right. Their testimony has been tried. And if you feel like you got to give up, you got to walk up to somebody and say, bruh, I need some of that stuff you got, man. Yes. Can you stand up? Can you walk with me? I'm limping. Can you help a brother out? Can you loan me $5 till payday? I'm struggling, but I'm not going to give up. See, you got a staff, and he's been through what you're experiencing, and they're there to bring you cover, comfort. Don't let the devil lie to you and say you're in this by yourself. That's the biggest lie the devil will ever tell you. You ain't in this by yourself, baby. You got the faith of 10,000 men standing behind you. Angels at your disposal. Just like Jesus said, I can call 10,000 angels if I even bear my foot up against a stone. What he was saying, if you even stub your toe, Jesus, and call upon the angels of mercy, they're at your disposal. So I come to encourage you today. Don't give up. Keep walking through it. You're in a dead place right now, but God's going to bring you out of it. He's going to bring you out on time. And he's going to bring you out with great joy. Come on, put your hands together for the Lord. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, God. You ought to begin to rejoice. I'm coming out of a dead place.